You may be seated this morning.
Well, good morning. Hey, didn't they do a great job? Josh, way to go, man. You've been a part of our team. Thanks for leading us this morning. Hey, it's good to see you all. Glad that you are here. If you are brand new or you've not been here, my name is Scott Watson, and I'll just tell you, you have come to River Bluff right smack dab in the middle of growing season. What I mean by that is we're a church that is trying to grow. Now, not numerically per se, but to grow is in our relationship with the Father and our relationship with God, to understand more about what that means and to grow. But let's do this. First things first. This morning, the first service, first Sunday ever, his first Sunday, we had brand new Raiden Lee Murphy. It was his first day in church. We all applauded for him. We congratulated Reed and Danielle. I'm going to ask you to do the same, and I'm going to call him later and tell him that we all cheered. Would you do that? We welcome them. As we're talking about growing and growing up in and discerning what that looks like and what it means, before I look at the scripture, I just want to ask you, do you know anyone that is obsessed with their lawn? Anybody? Like, yeah, some people raised their hands. Some people were like this in the first service, like, that's you, man, that's you. They pointed next. Listen, I don't know how obsessed you are with your lawn, but I don't think there's anybody in here can beat this guy. Did you all see that this week? This is real. This is not Photoshopped in. This guy was cutting his grass in a tornado, and his wife took the picture. It has gone viral across the world, and they asked, did he know that there was a tornado behind him? And she's like, oh, he knew. He just didn't want to get the grass cut. And I'm like, holy cow, that is really serious. That's a funny picture. But I tell you, there's a guy I really, really, really want to meet. I don't even know his name, but this is him right here. That's his yard. It's not much bigger than this area right here. He lives in the suburbs of Denver, and this guy is obsessed with his yard. A few years ago, he got a camera. He put it on his house, and he decided that there's nothing like watching his grass grow in real time. And so he went online and he put it on a website, and now millions of people have come on to watch this guy's grass grow. I got to tell you, I have been on it a couple of times. I'm not obsessed with it. Hey, honey, they can look at our yard and know that we're not obsessed with our lawn. But this guy is. Now, what's crazy is he's got a website. I want you to see it. You can go online and you can actually watch his grass grow. And I checked it out this morning when it was 6:37 this morning, mountain time. The temperature was 63, humidity was 30%, barometric pressure 30, wind speed 7 miles an hour, gusting up to 11.6, no rain and no snow so far today. That's just funny. But what's crazy is you can go, if you look down below, he's got things like this, time-lapse videos of pictures, and there's lots more on this website, an entire year of grass growing. You can see the finches that were nesting above his door, mowing the lawn, washing the car, shoveling snow. Cool story about the trash man when he figured out that he was on the internet and people were watching. A 9-page spread in the Southwest Airlines magazine on this guy. Pretty funny. I mean, it's pretty crazy. But what he said was he just loved the idea of watching grass grow in real time. And now other people have started. And I just got to tell you, I have gone on a couple times. I'm not going on anymore. I'm going to break away. But I did go on this morning early because I really wanted to see, like, is it really dark out there? And sure enough, it's live picture of his grass growing in the dark. It's dark. I was tempted the other day. I saw that there was a storm I heard going across Denver and Colorado, and I went on to see if it was raining at his house, and it wasn't yet, but I know that's weird, but talking about, I know you can pray for me, that's, talking about of life and him being obsessed with watching his grass grow in real time, It's funny because we've been talking about what it looks like for us to grow. And this morning we're going to talk about what it looks like to grow in real time in our spiritual life. You see, sometimes if it's like the grass thing, sometimes you could watch it, I guess, and it would be like, this is never, never changing, or it's not growing. But sometimes our spiritual life is like that. You all get that, don't you? There's sometimes times when you're like, I don't know where I'm supposed to be or how I'm supposed to get there. Sometimes it seems slow. Other times it seems extremely fast. Kind of like the pilot who says this, that piloting, flying a plane sometimes is like hours and hours and hours of boredom with just a couple of minutes of like sheer panic. Well, sometimes that's the way it is. Well, we started a series called To Boldly Grow. And where it came from was obviously to boldly go where no man has ever gone. But what we've been saying is to grow maybe where you've never been before. And so as we've been doing that, we've said, hey, what's that look like? If you're going to grow in your friendship or your relationship with Christ, what would that look like? We defined it this way, that it means this, that it means to increase in your knowledge of Jesus, your love for him, your obedience to him, and to be more like him. And I just got to tell you, for some in this room, that might be like really, really weird. And I got to tell you, if it's really, really weird, you're in the safest place for it to be weird right now. But for a lot of us in this room, that truly is where we're trying to go. Sam, could you hit that for me one more time? It seems like it's not coming on. Anyway, we are hoping that as we talk about what it looks like to grow in our relationship with God, that it would look like that we would become more like him. Well, as you look at it, I want you to open up your scripture, if you would. And we're looking at Mark chapter 6. And Mark chapter 6 is really a passage where God is talking about what it looks like to grow and to grow in real time, what that would look like. Well, as we do that, it's a familiar passage. And I want you to kind of catch it if you can. It's a passage that simply says this. That God early on in the disciples' early life brought them to the side of the mountain. And most of you in this room will be like this. I've heard it. I know that scripture. I know what it is. We'll put it up here in just a second if we can get it. But what I want you to see is in Mark chapter 6, it's the story that you're familiar with. Do you remember this story? It's where Jesus actually goes to a mountaintop to actually get away and to hide for a little bit, to spend time with God. And he invites his people, his guys, to come with him. And in doing that, I'm going to flip that off just for a second. In doing that, he simply says to them, let me back up to this right here. He says that there's parts of growing that are really, really, you get this, really hard. Sometimes it's easy. We said last week, sometimes growing seems a little easier. You know when that is for me? It's when I'm forced to look to God. And that's when I'm like panicked. I got lots going on, my heart's broken, I'm frustrated, whatever. Sometimes it's much more difficult when I'm like, no, I got this much right now in my pocket to fix something or to buy something or to do something right. We discovered that to boldly grow, it means that we are to grow by invitation, by expectation, and a bold decision. But this morning, I want you to know that sometimes growing is hard. Let me show you what I mean.
Yep, it doesn't seem hard. That is, until you have to do it. Then you realize it. Growth is hard. It takes hard work, focus, and dedication, none of which comes easy. Growth means stretching and expanding. It is painful. Things you outgrow will cling to you bitterly. You must pry them off of you and discard them. Everything in this world will fight your growth. Your flesh, your skeptical friends, your schedule, your doubts, gravity. Growth is hard. It requires you to redefine who you are and what you can do. Everyone around you will be uncomfortable with your growth. They would prefer you to stay the same. It makes them feel better about themselves. But growth is life. Anything you're not growing in, you are slowly shrinking in. So grow in the things that matter. Your faith, kindness, generosity, love, wisdom, humility, understanding. Because it's always time to grow up.
Growing is hard. I hope nobody's just like this. Wow, that was encouraging. Growing is hard. Well, actually, sometimes it is hard, but here's what I love about God. is that he says, let me give you a crash course. Let me talk to you what it looks like in real life. And how he does it in real time is he does it in a real life situation. The scripture in Mark chapter 6 talks about growing boldly in real time. And that is our desire, perhaps yours. And it's found in Mark chapter 6. Just so you know the background of this, here's what's happening just prior to this. Just before verse 30, here's what happens. John the Baptist, who Jesus loves, is beheaded. The word comes to him, and Jesus, the scripture says, withdrew to a solitary place to spend time with God. Now, some of you might not know this, but the actual word in the Greek for he withdrew is a military term that says he retreated. I don't know about you, but sometimes I want to go like this. Not my God. God doesn't retreat in a military word form like that to retreat. But I just got to tell you, God did retreat. Jesus retreated. He pulled away for a while, and it was for a reason. You know, it's those times sometimes where God speaks to us when we're pulled apart. And did you all hear, as James was speaking earlier, man, we need to pray for our students. They're getting ready to go. Our kids are going to children's camp today at 1 o'clock. Hey, listen, Liz on our team is the dean of this camp for 200 kids. Can you believe that? Pray for Liz and for all of our leaders. This morning we were in this circle. We always pray in our worship team. We all get together right here and we just pray for the service, talk about what's going on. And we said this morning, hey, everybody pray for Liz because she's going to be the dean at this camp. And I just told the whole circle, I'm like, hey, I'm not telling anybody what to do and what not to do. But if I were you, I probably wouldn't nudge Liz today. I wouldn't push her. I wouldn't, like, be sarcastic with her. I wouldn't do anything. We need to pray for her today. Don't mess with her. She's going to camp. Well, you know, it's funny. Camp is one of those experiences. Actually, if we said right now in this room, hey, what was your camp experience? I promise you, many people would stand and say, hey, listen, that was the time frame that God really spoke to me. It's when I met him or something, that camp experience. So would you pray all week long? We've got a group going the first 3 days and then another group going the next 3 days. So please pray for him. But you know, God pulls away sometimes in those solitary times, in those breakaway times when God really speaks. And I want you to see the scripture is just that. Jesus has just heard from John the Baptist. He's just coming back out, and he does this. Watch this. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat, to a secluded place by themselves. And the people saw them going, and many recognized them, and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd. He felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate and it is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. He commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of 50s. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 12 full baskets of broken pieces. And also of the fish, there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. You guys, what happens here is a familiar story to a bunch, and some of us know it. But what I love about it is it's God saying to the disciples and to the world, let me show you and let me help you learn what it means to grow in real time. I want to suggest a couple of things that if you're going to grow and I'm going to grow in real time, I mean, it's going to happen, not just the time lapse over a year and all of a sudden it's there. It's going to be in real time and it will always come in this way. It begins with and has to have real time with God. Now, just so you know that, that's not just a no-brainer. Understand this. As you look at the scripture, what happens is God invites them to come with him. And it's in that teaching time, wouldn't you know it, that they were going to go together to get away, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and to rest for a while? And as they're going to go rest, they've been very, very busy. Wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? Right when they're going to get some downtime, ministry slaps them right smack in the face. You see it in the disciples. They're like, we're tired. Have you ever seen that happen in the ministry? Have you ever seen it happen where people are like, I'm just tired. I'm worn out. I'm beat up. It happens all the time. What I want to suggest, though, is this, that apart from that secluded time with God, you can't make it. It's that time that there is absolutely no substitute for it. Now listen, you can try to grow in your faith without spending time with God, and you see people do it all the time. You see people engaging in stuff that looks like they should grow, and it's without spending time with the Lord. They just simply know that this is what they're supposed to do. I have a word that describes those folks. Generally, those folks that are not spending time with God, but are still trying to do religious stuff and just do everything, I have a word that describes them. It's called grumpy. Do you know anybody grumpy? Like they're doing God's work? I am doing this, but I am mad the whole time I'm doing it. Yeah, you look mad, Bob. Well, I'm doing it for God. Like, dude, I don't know if he really loves it all that much because you look angry. But I'm still doing it, aren't I? And so you see that all the time. Hey, but listen, sometimes people are doing stuff and there is no God for them. I got to tell you, I don't know what people are trying to do to grow spiritually and all that stuff. I can say this, that Jesus says this, that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And only through me can you know the Father. And so he does have something that seems to be more meaningful than empty attempts at life of some kind. I want you to know that that real time with God, and I just ask you, I'm not getting personal, but how is your time with God? How's your real time with God? Now, some in the room would be like that. It's weird, man. It is really weird what you're asking me. It's because we call it quiet time sometimes, and it's Christian lingo. Like, hey, dude, you having your quiet time? Some of you would be like, what's a quiet time? Like, yeah, I had a quiet time when I was watching the game. About 15 minutes, I slept or I dozed or something. That's quiet time. When we talk about it sometimes, it's actually that time to get away from God, get away with God. But you know, if some of us are here today and you'd be like, I have no clue what you're talking about, where would you start? Can I just tell you? You can go online and find all kinds of devotions. You can find all kinds of things, like grass growing in real time. You can watch, you can find all kinds of crazy stuff. But there's devotions, there's books. But I tell you what, if you ever wanted to know where to start, pick up your Bible and begin in the Gospel of John. Man, you'll fall in love with him. You read his story, you know his name, you'll fall in love with him if you spend time with him. Listen, apart from spending time with him, the growth deal is off. It is very, very, very stubborn. It's very slow. You probably will get grumpy because you're trying to hold your mouth right, do things right, and there's something missing. Please know this, that real time with God to help you grow is designed and offered to you by invitation and demonstration. Let me show you what I mean. I love it in Mark chapter 1. There's a demonstration. Mark chapter 1, after a full day of ministry, very early in the morning, Jesus, while it was still dark, got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. I just got to tell you, Jesus did it. I just got to say, it's good enough for me if Jesus did it. He went away and he spent time alone with the Father. Apart from that, there's no growth. It's mandatory. But not only is it that, it's also by invitation. Look what the scripture says in Matthew 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, there's a scripture that says that God in Psalms, his ear is bent towards earth to hear the cry of his people. My friends, listen, there is no wasted prayer when you talk to him. And he desires that you do it with him. And so that real time with God, can I ask you, and I don't want to get nosy, but how is yours? And I'll tell you, mine goes up and down sometimes. Number two, real time with God is a prerequisite to growth in real time. Number two, real test of faith. Look what happens. When they're already quiet, they'd gotten there, and what happened was Jesus begins to teach. And as he's beginning to teach, you can almost see the disciples going like this. Well, kind of like some of you guys are doing right now. Like, come on, Scott, get this done. Yeah, they're doing that too. They're like, hey, it's getting late. And what happens is this, is that his disciples come to him and he said, hey, this place is desolate. It's already quite late. Send them away so they may go into a surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them and said, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go spend 200 denarii for bread and give them something to eat? What I want you to know is there's a spiritual principle that says your spiritual growth will always, 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 always be based on real tests of faith in what you believe. Now, some would be like this. I just finished, man. I'm done. And we would say this. Hey, I want a faith. I want. What about the God, like manna from heaven? Listen, if God wants me to grow, let him like super speed me up there and I'll be a giant, a spiritual giant. But in all reality, no one's spiritual growth ever comes until you're tested and you have to determine what it is that you believe. And so sometimes we ask like, hey, how about some pennies from heaven? And I thought life was going to be that if I followed after God. And maybe there'll be like a guitar playing behind me. And like I'll see angels and I'll just like feel a good spirit everywhere I go. And that's how I know. But listen, God says no. Listen, your faith growing will come in the form of a testing time. And what's the testing time? The disciples are just flat tired. You ever been that way? I'm just tired. I don't want to do this anymore. People do it in Christianity all the time. They stop or they want to quit. Nevertheless, I want you to know that this test of faith tells us a great deal. Look what they say. Notice what they say. They say the place is desolate. They actually take a check over the whole thing. And you know what in the Boy Scouts they tell you? Be prepared and assess things. And so really there's not much wrong. I just want you to notice that what they do is they assess it very clearly on one level and they miss a whole nother level. What's the level they see? Man, this place is desolate. It's crazy. There's no place to eat. What's the other one? Send them to somewhere where they can go get something to eat. We're tired now. It's funny what they do is they begin to do what we do. We begin to assess the situation and we say, I can see this. Problem is they see it. It's incorrect, actually, in all reality, in a spiritual sense. It's kind of like your situation. Sometimes you can look at whatever. I'm not even sure what everybody's going through. But I promise you, in the hundreds of people that were here before and all of us today, you're going through something. If not, just wait about 10 seconds and there'll be something crazy in your world. You'll be faced with it. You really will. But as you are, you got to be careful how you assess it. And how they assess it is that there's not enough here. There's nothing here. There's not enough. It's interesting because they sound exactly really... The disciples sound exactly like you. Exactly. Well, not just you, me. It's when we assess it and we go like, hey, man, I don't have enough to fix this thing. I don't know what situation you're dealing with, but it may be that you're looking at not feeding 20,000 people today. But the thing that's heavy on your heart might as well be 20,000 people. Because you're saying today, I can't fix it. I can't fix my marriage. I can't fix my teenager. I can't fix my health. I can't fix my boss. I can't fix this addiction. I can't fix this secret I've got. I can't fix anything. I want you to know that what happens is they do something that every one of us can do in everything. They assess their situation and they recognize where they are. Look what happens. It says that they said, this is a desolate place. They then say, they're not really sure what to do. So they go to Jesus and they tell him what to do. It's like, hey, we're tired, and can you tell them to go do something? It's kind of like what we do with God. Like, God, if you really love me, do this. And you know there's some people that aren't here today or not in any church because God didn't do what they wanted to be done. That's it, man. I tried, and he didn't come through. What I want you to see is that there's a God that works in difficult situations, and it comes in the test of faith. And it comes by him actually doing something that we can't do. The test of faith is this, is for us to recognize that our resources are low. That's all they're saying. We ain't got any more, man. We're done. We're done. Tell them to go home. It's been a good day. See you. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's funnier than you think. Sending them out. Tell them to go someplace else. Jesus said, I've got something else to do. And my friends, this is the next big one. Is that real life growing and growing in real time will always, always, always demand real steps of obedience. Some would say, wait a minute. I don't like the whole obedient words. And I tell people all the time, I've gotten to be a part of more weddings than more pastors than I've ever. I mean, lots of weddings. And you know one thing they've taken out of every of the vows these days? Do you promise to love and to cherish and to support and so on? Let you throw a word in that they used to say all the time, and you'll get one of these days. Like, hey, Betty, do you promise that you will love Bob and cherish Bob and care for Bob and sickness and in health? And do you promise to obey? And that's when they're like, wait a minute. I ain't doing the obey thing. Uh-uh. Take that out. They also took out in weddings, like, is there anybody here that would, what is it they would say? Is there anybody here that would, like, oppose it or something? They don't do that either, because I'm wondering if that ever happened. Like, yeah, I'm against it. Okay, we're calling off the reception. Honey, call the reception hall. We're not doing it. No. Anyway, you don't put obey in. But listen to what God says. God says, this is what I'm desiring. I'm desiring in your test of faith that you would be obedient. And look what it is. The scripture says this. Hey, Josh, come on up. You guys, we'll finish up. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves. And he commanded them all to sit down in groups of on the green grass of 50s and 100s. Hey, you know what Matthew says? Matthew says this in this same account, that he has the disciples break them up. And then he has the disciples serve the food. And then he has the disciples say, hey, and you're not done until you do the dishes. You got to pick it up. But I got to tell you, I love this passage because look what it says. The scripture says that Jesus asks, how many loaves do you have? For me, that's just crazy. God just asked, how many loaves do we have available to us? And I just got to say, oh my goodness. He's God. Surely he knows, doesn't he? We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. If he doesn't know how many loaves of bread we have, hey, I'll just say it here at River Bluff. If he doesn't know how many loaves and fish, we're calling church off from now on. We're in trouble. Listen, you know what God does? God asked the disciples, how many loaves do you have and how many fish? Was it for information? Gosh, no. You know what it was for? It was for us to say, hey, let me reevaluate the resources that we have available. It was God saying, I am fixing to invite you to come on board in something that you couldn't do on your own. You know what their job's about to be? It's about to be to hold a basket. They're going to hold baskets. That's what they're going to do. They're going to hold baskets. I don't know, but if for me, when it feels like the job is feeding 20,000 people, my friends, I don't stand a chance. Neither do you. I don't care how much money you have in your wallet. You can't do it. And so what I love about God is he says that in this particular test, all I want you to do is hold a basket. And I don't know about you guys, but I can hold a basket. Is that what you want me to do, hold a basket? I can hold a basket. Is that what you're asking me? Because the Lord knows I can't do anything else. I told the first service, man, I want to hold a basket if God wants me to. I think I'd be a good basket holder. Seriously, I think I could win, like in a basket off. I said basket off earlier. Like if we were having a basket off, I think I could hold one for a long time. I bet I could beat some people in here. Like Survivor, like see you can hold the basket longer. They've been standing for 20 minutes with the basket. I don't know how long we could hold the basket. But that's what God's calling the disciples to do. Do you see what the honor of that is? Is that God says, I desire for you not to figure out how to feed 20,000. This is your part. And he says, it's to be obedient. Have them sit down, pass the food out, pick it up. Do you know what the scripture says? Listen to what the scripture says. The scripture says the true test of our walk is obedience, being obedient to his commands. And as you've heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And this is love, that we walk in obedience. The scripture says, he replied, Jesus, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. There's a dimension that says we're to obey. Now listen, I don't know what God's asking you to do, but it may be that he's just simply asking you, I'm not calling on you to feed the 20,000. I'm calling on you just to be obedient. I don't know what obedience looks like for you. I like to say, like, maybe obedience is to help drive the kids to camp. Or we're gonna help paint in the building tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Maybe obedience is to take a step to come and paint. And you expect this from a preacher. Maybe obedience is, could you like put more in the offering plates? You expected that from a preacher. Look, I don't know what it is. But God is calling you to be obedient. It's significant. Understanding this last point. It all is contingent and hinges on the faithfulness, real faithfulness of God. Notice this. When he has them all sit down, what's he do? He prays and blesses the food. And when he blesses the food, he asks the guys to pass out the baskets. And what happens is God multiplies it. The disciples don't have to come up with it. God is faithful. And part of our real growth and growing in real time comes as a result of time alone with God. Recognizing that I'm in need of him, that this is bigger than me, that I would be obedient to him and then ultimately trust him. You guys, there's a guy in Denver today and he's watching his grass grow. I'm going to check it out one more time today. See if he's cutting the grass today or not. But he's watching the grass grow. You could go online and watch his grass grow for a year, and it lasts about a minute and a half. Great story, just not real time. Real time happens like this. I don't know where you are spiritually, but God is inviting you to bring whatever lack of resources you have for the life that you're trying to live, recognize that you fall short and trust his faithfulness. Jesus said this, that if you lack, you come to me. He says, all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says that only in me is abundance of life. And nobody else talking that language. Would you like to grow in real time? Check your resources and meet him on this side of the hill and trust his faithfulness. Would you stand with me? Let's stand. And as we close this morning, growing in real time begins with a real relationship with Jesus. We're going to close. No matter where you are, I'm going to ask you to symbolically just pick up your basket. And as you pick up your basket, it may be that God is wanting to pour into that basket a blessing. But listen, maybe today it's to, just like the disciples, they picked up the remnants, the leftovers. Maybe today you would simply say, Father in heaven, I'm empty. And what I want to do is give you the pieces of the broken parts of my heart and the messed up stuff. And so symbolically, you're just simply putting in there your relationships that are broken, your life that is broken, your heart that is broken, stuff. And in doing so, just symbolically holding your basket to say, Lord, here it is. Would you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for meeting us on a hillside in Mark chapter 6, but more importantly, on a hillside called Golgotha, where you died on the cross for us, where you shed your blood, Father, for the broken parts that are in our basket. God, I pray that you would help us to grow in real time by trusting you, spending time with you. Father, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, that they would simply open the door not of a basket of their heart to say, Jesus, come into my heart. You lead me. I pray in Jesus' name.